folks. Third hour is on. This is War Room Live. Share the link at alexjoneslive.com. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls this last hour. I'm looking for comments on the Sneeko debate. The number to dial, 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. Taking calls right now. It is 5 o'clock on the dot, Central Standard Time on the 8th of July, 2026. So if you're hearing my voice live now, give us a call, 512-266-0642. And we'll go out to those calls just as soon as they arrive. Now, again, continuing with the topic of foreigners hijacking our country. And I guess I should be clear here. I've got a lot of friends that are first or second, you know, generation immigrants. I don't actually have a problem with immigrants or people from other countries. I love Muslims from other countries. Absolutely. But this is our house. This is our home. This is where we live. It's our country. We don't have anywhere else to go. So we have to defend it. And there's a difference between a trickle of immigrants who come here on merit, who believe in America, who sever their ties to their homeland, abandon their allegiances, and truly, fully embrace the American spirit. I got no problem whatsoever. A lot of the immigrants or second generation immigrants I know seem to get America better than a lot of white people I know. There's no debate. We're obviously not talking about every individual here. And I suppose I should make that little acknowledgement before we, yes, very much object to the systematic dilution of the American people and the selling out of our birthright to a bunch of foreigners. And I'll say once again, if you don't understand that this is a nationalistic, a racialistic conflict going on, you're being fooled. If you actually think this is about some sort of communistic class divide, that explanation is insufficient to explain the major problems occurring in our country, which all have to do with Americans of every race, color, and creed, and every income level being discriminated against and screwed over by foreigners who are benefiting their co-ethnics. This is a obvious thing going on, and we've shown you videos of people like Indians going, hey, you know, we're going to use our population like the Jews do. We're going to get into a country and then we're going to sway that country's politics to benefit us. They do it openly in New Zealand. They're literally like, well, we're 5% of the population, which means we can swing the vote. So you better serve us or else, you know, we're going to vote for the other side. Why would we allow this? Why would this be something that any Western country at all would be okay with? All right, might have to save the H-1B coverage for a second. This just dropped. At the direction of the Commander-in-Chief, U.S. Central Command have started conducting additional strikes against Iran to further degrade the ability to threaten the freedom of navigation in the Strait of Hormuz. The United States is holding Iran accountable for recent unjustified aggression against commercial shipping and civilian crews freely navigating in a vital international waterway. So, yes, we are ramping up the attacks on Iran. We are in a full-fledged way getting back into the war that has never been for us, does not serve us in any way, and should have been over a while ago if we could for once put a muzzle on Israel and stop them from bombing Lebanon. The world would be at peace now, but we seem incapable or unwilling to do that. So we are once again at war with the Islamic Republic, and they are once more eating our lunch because they're on the right side of the MOU. They're on the right. I mean, this was part of it, right? They were going to demand the Strait of Hormuz be under their control. America seemed amenable to that. But then we wanted to have this ulterior route. Iran was like, we never agreed to that. We're going to blow up your ships. I mean, imminently predictable, but they didn't want the war to end, so it's not going to end. The people wanted to end. Seems like the leadership of the countries want it to end, but Israel doesn't. So on it goes. We'll be back to cover more and your calls.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Welcome back, folks. Let me give you a rundown of what's happening with Iran. This is just another humiliation ritual for America and the Trump administration. A squadron commanding officer identified as Navy aviator has been killed in a downed helicopter. The U.S. Navy identified the missing sailor from an emergency helicopter landing in the Arabian Sea on July 1st as the commanding officer of Helicopter Sea Combat Squadron 5. Commander Gabriel Edwards vanished after the MH-60S Seahawk helicopter he was aboard went down at 3:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, along with three other sailors who were subsequently rescued. Commander Gabe Edwards was the epitome of selfless leadership who dedicated himself to service and sacrifice for the last 20 years, Captain Matthew Lewis, commander of carrier Air Wing 7, said in a Tuesday statement, our deepest gratitude and sympathy go out for his family. I don't want to like make light of it, but it's like, what did he die for? Why are you telling his family he had to die? Why is he there in the Middle East? Why is he carrying out these dangerous missions? What is the point of this? He signed up to give his life selflessly for his fellow Americans, but his death has now been brought about for the sake of Israel and their desire to kill Lebanese people. So this is the tragedy of our current situation. I don't think a single Gabriel Edwards, Commander Gabriel Edwards, is worth the state of Israel. I don't think a single Navy helicopter pilot should be sacrificed for the freedom of action of the Jewish people in the Middle East. This is disgusting and pathetic. And I do feel bad for the family. And it's like, so I don't want to like undercut the sacrifice. It's a big deal, obviously. But like, that's the point, isn't it? This is a big deal. This is a major sacrifice. Even one American life is worth more than the state of Israel, in my opinion. So why are we sacrificing them? He wouldn't be there if it weren't for Netanyahu's blackmail network. Jet-lagged Trump wakes up in furious mood as he torches Iran, Spain, Denmark, and NATO allies. Donald Trump derailed what was supposed to be a show of unity during the NATO summit in Turkey as he raged at allies, renewed demands to take over Greenland, and declared the Iranian ceasefire over. This week's NATO summit in Ankara, Turkey, was meant to be a show of strength and unity, but Donald Trump derailed the two event with rage-filled remarks that simultaneously reignited the conflict in the Middle East. The U.S. president didn't hold back as he reiterated his frustration at NATO on Wednesday, complaining the member countries have not treated us right, calling out France, Germany, Italy, and the U.K. specifically before describing Spain as a bad partner, which I assume is just because Spain didn't allow America or Israel to use their bases to carry out strikes against Iran. They didn't feel like participating, and they have spoken up pretty strongly against Israel in the past. So obviously we have to sever our ties with them. If you disrespect Israel, it's America that'll be the one who will make you pay the price, which again is why I'm very suspicious. I don't think this is a America first, America, hoorah, we're going to show it to Europe sort of thing. I think this is the next step in the total destruction of Europe by the globalist who brought in the Muslims, who created the entire you know, world order where America was in charge of providing defense for the entire Western world. Like, Europe didn't necessarily set that up. That was mostly America after World War II, when we had carte blanche to like remake the constitution of half of the European states. And we prevented them from defending themselves because we didn't trust them to build up an army. You know, Germany obviously has happened after World War I. They ignored it. So the second time around, we guaranteed that they wouldn't be. So I think that this is just an attack on Europe. I think the Muslims, immigration is an attack on Europe. And I think this is the next step, is basically going, well, they're Muslim countries now, so we're going to abandon and destroy them, even though they're our heartland, they're our homeland, they're our ancestral lands. I don't hate Europe. I don't want to see Europe destroyed. I want to see Europe survive and flourish. I want to see them expel the Muslims that have been brought in and not be subject to the whims of Trump or his Israeli masters. Trump cuts off all trade with terrible NATO partner Spain, again, at the behest of Israelis. What other reason would there be? There's not. Trump says ceasefire with Iran is over, calling its leaders, quote, scum. Great. Very adult. Trump says he'll remove Syria from the state-sponsored list of terrorism list now that a former al-Qaeda terrorist runs the country. Because, I mean, you know, Syria is like the best example where, like, you had a Western-educated, Alawite, moderate leader, but because he didn't like Israel, because he didn't play along with Israel's genocidal takeover plan of the entire Middle East, then we ousted him, put a literal terrorist in charge who has carried out pogroms routinely ever since he got back in. He is a radical Muslim. He does make his wife wear a veil and stand behind him, unlike Bashar al-Assad, whose wife was basically as Western as Melania, at the very least. But somehow they're the good guys and Bashar al-Assad's bad guys. Like, when you understand the only dichotomy is pro-Israel or against Israel, that everything else is jokes, right? The Sunnis in Saudi Arabia are the extremist faction of Muslims. They are the ones who run the, you know, madrasas in Europe that fed soldiers into ISIS. Like, they're actually the extremist bad guys, much more so than the Shia. But the Shia are the ones who are effectively organizing against Israel, so we have to go to war with Iran. It's all manipulation, right? The only thing that matters to the people in charge is what is good for Israel. And if Bashar al-Assad is bad for Israel, then he's an evil guy that needs to be ousted. Bring in the head-chopping ISIS commander. That doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense until you understand that the actual dichotomy is he's a slave for Israel because he's ISIS, because ISIS was always in service of the Greater Israel Project. It was created after Israel tried and failed to invade Lebanon because they wanted a force to attack Lebanon from the north, and they wanted to take out Syria, so they created ISIS, or rather the CIA-funded moderate rebel groups that just so happened to crop up everywhere that ISIS was. So until, you know, we as Americans can see through the deception and, you know, look past the shiny lights and the Wizard of Oz display and see the crooked little man in the behind the curtain making all the decisions, then we're just going to be stuck in this ridiculous nonsense forever. U.S. strikes Iran, Tehran strikes back, peace negotiations abandoned, more strikes expected. Again, we were happy, we were thrilled. Trump himself was celebrating the end of this conflict, and it would have gone smoothly if it weren't for Israel bombing Lebanon. All of this, the new conflict, the new bombing of Iran, the death of the peace process, the radicalization of Iran and the greater power than ever that they wield in that country. This is all a consequence of Israel being unwilling to just stop murdering Lebanese people. If they had just stopped, they could have just paused. They could have just said, you know what? All right, we'll stop bombing high rises in Beirut for 48 hours and we would have had peace. But they didn't want to do that. So we're going back to war. It's not that complicated. And they're, of course, setting up for Turkey to be the next boogeyman. And that could not be more obvious. Iran's regime is now stronger than before Trump's war. It's from the Telegraph. It was only 3 weeks ago that Trump sat in the mirrored splendor of the Palace of Versailles and signed a memorandum of understanding designed to end his war with Iran. Now he's declared the agreement to be over and denounced the Iranian signatories as scum, liars, and sick people, and the hard reality that no one should be surprised. Well, it, of course, was entirely contingent on Israel not bombing Lebanon, something they refused to do. So it was never actually a memorandum of understanding because America was never capable or willing to uphold our end of the bargain and stop Israel from carrying out a genocide. So that's what all this is about. And Israel is very concerned about us selling F-35s, but this seems to be a pressure tactic anyway, where we're telling them we're either going to give Turkey F-35s or you have to withdraw from Lebanon. And it's just like, how about we just give the F-35s to Turkey and then we give a nuclear bomb to Iran and then we eradicate Israel and then we go back to where we were 126 years ago with peace in the Middle East before Israel arrived and caused literally every problem from then till now. Literally everything. What if we eradicate Israel as a, you know, nation state? I don't care what happens to the people. They can leave, they can stay, whatever. It doesn't matter. But the political organization needs to be eradicated completely, fully, resolutely, and brutally, I might add. And then and only then will America be able to stop starting wars that don't serve us. The Middle East can go back to where it was before the Israelis arrived, which was basic peace. And, you know, it's just sort of a backwater place of the world that nobody thought about very much till the Israelis arrived, started killing everybody, and kicked off this whole ridiculous nonsense that we suffer under till today. That would be my suggestion. My suggestion is arm Turkey with everything you've got. Why not? They already hold our nuclear weapons, don't they? They're already members of NATO, aren't they? And you think if Israel attacked Turkey, wouldn't that be funny? Would that be something? We'd see a lot of confusion about Article 5 of the NATO treaty concerning the fact that we all have to go to war with Russia, even though Ukraine is not a NATO member. Be interesting to see if a non-NATO member like Israel attacked a NATO member. I think you'd see that Article 5 was suddenly there's a little bit of wiggle room, actually. Actually, we don't totally need to stick to that all the time, because remember, nothing matters except what is good for Israel. Law, international law, human rights, international courts. They can be the bulwark of our democracy. They can be something celebrated endlessly by the very people who will then turn around and say, actually, we should invade The Hague for saying that Benjamin Netanyahu is a war criminal. So it doesn't matter. They enforce the law when it serves them. They don't when it doesn't. They support moderate Muslims when it serves them. They support ISIS commanders if that serves them. Everything is for the sake of Israel. This Iran war is no exception. It's kind of just exhausting to have to, you know, live this out over and over again. And then to see yesterday it announced that Pete Hegseth will be traveling to Israel to receive advice from Benjamin Netanyahu. And it turns out it was actually about the possible sale of F-35s to Turkey. Can we stop caring what Israel has to say about anything? Again, if they just didn't exist, you know, I'm just seeing the ultimate solution here being the non-existence of Israel. I think I saw. Solve world peace with this one cool trick. Doctors hate this one cool trick to bring world peace about forever. It's eradicate Israel. Okay, let's go out to your calls. Megan, thank you for calling in on line one. You're from West Virginia. Go ahead. Megan, you're on the air.
Hi, what's up?
Not much. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. What did you think about the Sneeko debate?
Yeah, that guy, I think he lost his mind a long time ago.
You weren't convinced?
There's something wrong with his thinking, for sure.
You didn't find his arguments compelling?
No, absolutely not.
Well, so how'd you think about what Alex's performance?
Oh, AJ did. He was perfect. He gave him a whip for hell too, and he quietly put him in his spot.
Yeah, well, and like I said, I think Alex was basically done with the debate after about 30 minutes and just started having fun with it. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Total Alex victory, Megan.
Yep. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we'll tack that one up. I totally agree. Thank you so much for the call. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll go now to Sean in California, one of our regular callers. What did you think about the Sneeko debate, Sean?
Oh, my gosh, Harrison, it wasn't William F. Buckley and Gore Vidal, I'll tell you that.
I don't know. I mean,
You know, I feel bad for Alex. I think, like, you know, Sneeko was so unintelligent that he was gradually draining Alex of intelligence. That's why Alex was like, yeah, this kid can hear, but he can't listen and learn. So that's I would be like Alex myself, just start insulting him after a while. And sadly, a lot of people, whether they be online or in the podcast realm, that's how their mind works, is that they don't digest what they're being told. They just want to repeat their point or go, nuh-uh. And that's not a debate tactic. That's just, you know, not conceding the point when you're, you know, incorrect. Of which, do you want to have a thought on Turkey here real quick?
Yeah. Well, what's your take on Turkey?
I had this really terrible thought. If Israel does somehow destabilize Turkey and you got Ukraine north of it, wouldn't that be an easy pipeline to either get jihadis or to get people from Africa to just make a quick beeline right up into Russia and basically, you know, attack and split up the most, you know, orthodox country on the planet? I mean, I kind of could see that in terms of, you know, old land warfare. I don't know how they do it in this era, but I actually think, you know, in a way, them trying to say Turkey's next makes sense. And they can always also pull the old card out of their hat for getting rid of Erdogan on corruption, because his son, if you recall, used to buy oil from ISIS when we were like, why is Turkey and NATO if they're going to, you know, finance ISIS through oil sales and purchases? So I think Turkey's kind of in a bad spot, to be honest. You know, they're right between Ukraine and Israel, who have a lot more in common than you think. So I'd love to hear what you have to say about that, and your analysis about this being a loss for Sneeko is definitely on the nose. Sneeko got crushed, like Ultimate Warrior crushed Honky Tonk Man.
Well, and you know what's funny? The crew was bringing up, as you were talking, a picture Sneeko posted of Alex like freaking out and Sneeko sitting calmly. It's like, you understand he's mocking you, right? Like, Alex Jones was not actually freaking out. He's not actually like, dang it, Sneeko, you're... He's like mocking you. He's like being silly and mocking you because he doesn't take you seriously, because he thinks you're a joke, because he's not actually, you know, it doesn't feel the need to even like respond in a real way. You're not actually a like opponent to debate. You are an enemy to mock. So yeah, he thinks that makes him look good. Alex was literally just like messing with you for the last second half of the debate, Sneeko. You lost it in the first 20 or 30 minutes, and the rest of it was Alex just having fun and entertaining all of us, which you seem incapable of doing. You take yourself too seriously, which is another funny part of all of it. When it comes to Turkey, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Turkey. One of the first things I made for InfoWars was a segment called Turkey is an Islamic Caliphate in All But Name, because if you watch Erdogan's career, and especially the fake like coup that they carried out in like 2018 when he was on the plane and he's like Skyping in, basically, Turkey was founded at, you know, after the fall of the Ottoman Empire, you had the Young Turks and you had Ataturk, who was basically their version of George Washington. And he set it up deliberately so that Turkey's army was shielded from Islamic influence. And they wanted it to be this way. And it was like the Turkish army is the backstop. They do not get into the interpersonal Muslim extremists because, you know, honest Muslims that are just like actually statesmen and trying to, you know, found a country in the early 1900s, they didn't have the Sneeko lie of like, no, we're Muslims are all great together. And, you know, it has nothing to do with, you know, controlling a government. You know, they understood if we don't have very strict backstops to the Islamification of our government, then it will very quickly become a battleground between Shia and Sunni, between factionalism, which will all use the army to try to eradicate their enemies in the homeland. And that can't happen. So we're going to have a nationalistic government, a nationalistic army that serves the people of Turkey regardless. And we're going to just, in a very severe and strict way, keep Islamic influence out of the army. Now, Erdogan basically systematically unwound that and undid that, and is slowly but surely, you know, increase the influence of his particular brand of Islam into Turkey. So like, and Turkey, of course, is behind a lot of the invasion of Syrians. They were the conduit. They were the ones who, like in the video that we show of the Israelis welcoming the Syrians to Greek shores. Well, they all left from Turkish shores originally and were ferried across by the Turkish Navy. So I'm not even like a fan of Turkey. Turkey is the biggest army on mainland Europe. And they serve a very important, you know, historical point. And they still, to this day, serve as this bridge between the Middle East, Asia, and Europe, and they play that very well. They're a member of NATO, but they're Islamic. They're, you know, not enemies with Israel, but they're certainly not friends. They, I mean, it's all very kind of like confusing once you get up there. But the other thing that I always think of when it comes to Turkey is, of course, the Orthodox prophecy that says that Turkey and Greece will get into a conflict and that Russia will destroy Turkey, because Russia and Turkey have a very, very old enmity between them, with basically the Turkish takeover, the Ottoman Muslim takeover of Constantinople, turning it into Istanbul, forcing the Orthodox Church to flee. They made their new homeland in Moscow, which is like the third Rome. So there's always this sort of impetus from Russians that, like, we should take Turkey back over. And of course, the prophecy says that there will be a nuclear exchange between Russia and Turkey. And we seem to be heading towards that just a little bit. We can go to some clips from Erdogan here, because he made statements at this NATO summit, the one that we're talking about Trump being at. Let's go to clip 33 here first. This is Turkish President Erdogan on Lebanon and Gaza. I hope this is subtitled here.
Barış umutları.
Dang it. All right. We gotta get this translated. My bad. But I do have the statements that he made. But essentially, he is saying that, you know, they have to solve this disagreement in the water with Greece. He also has said that Trump has adopted a positive attitude towards Turkey regarding the F-35 issue. God willing, when the F-35s are delivered to Turkey, the whole world will say the U.S. has kept its word. He's more optimistic about Trump keeping his word than most people. That sounds like a threat to me. It's like, yeah, when they deliver the 35s, everyone will realize America keeps its word. Basically going, you know, you people have lost a lot of trust across the world by allying with Israel, and you keep, you know, like killing the negotiator you're supposed to be negotiating with, or you sign this memorandum of understanding and then pretend not to know what's in it and allow Israel to keep bombing Lebanon. Like, we keep, on behalf of Israel, we keep betraying our partners, betraying negotiations, and we're deeply untrustworthy at this point. So Erdogan is basically going, but if you fulfill this F-35 order, then that might be a mark in your favor, which you really need right now because you have all these marks against you. So he, you know, he knows the role he's in, and he's you know, playing it fairly well. The long term, you know, strategy from Israel and America would not be to do anything with Erdogan. They know Erdogan is getting up there in age, and so what they're almost certainly doing is planning for his replacement, and they'll try to bring in somebody who is either a lot more Islamic in order to basically create the conditions in which Turkey does become the next Iran in order to validate, you know, that strategy that they're already pursuing, or they'll try to bring in somebody who is a lot more Zelensky-like, who will be a slave of the EU, NATO, and Israel. Erdogan is a smart dude who's, you know, playing it both ways, and it may be up to him to determine, you know, his succession plan and how successful that will be. But if I was Israel and America, this isn't something they're trying to get done right now. This is something they're laying the groundwork to come to fruition maybe 5 to 10 years from now when Erdogan is being replaced. So again, remember, these people think in, you know, generational timetables. So don't think that just because they're starting to talk about Turkey right now, we're going to be going to war with Turkey in 2 years. They're laying the groundwork now so that they can manipulate the Turkish population, likely following Erdogan's death. Maybe before. We'll see. So that's my take on Turkey. We'll be back with more on the other side. Final segment starts in about 3 minutes, and we'll take your calls. We got Jay Jefferson and a few more people.
And a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. We'll go out to your calls in just a second. I do want to go to clip 36 here. This is Vice President J.D. Vance talking about the reignited war with Iran and the collapse of the talks with them. Let's watch.
Most of all, thanks to the troops, we came into the situation with maximum leverage and maximum strength. Their nuclear program was destroyed. Their conventional military was destroyed. And you've got some people within the Iranian system who are saying, you know what? We want to change our relationship with the United States. We want to turn over a new leaf. And the president said, okay, we will sit down at the table and negotiate and see if the smart people in that system can take over from the crazy people. Well, here's the basic deal that we cut. The basic deal that we cut was, we'll lift our blockade if you stop shooting at ships. But if you shoot at ships, we are going to punch back, and we're going to punch back harder than ever before. That was the deal. They said they would stop shooting at ships. And what happened 24 hours ago? They start shooting at ships again. Now, they were good. They were well-behaved for about a week. But then they start shooting at ships. So the deal is very simple. If they shoot at ships, we're going to knock the hell out of them, and it's that simple, and that's the basic way it's going to work. Now, the president maintains a lot of options. I'm obviously not going to tell you exactly what's going to happen tonight, but the president has said to them very simply, the Strait of Hormuz is going to be open. That means oil and gas is going to flow to the American people. That's why we see gas prices starting to come down. That's why we see the oil prices so low, is because the president said that crucial artery through which we ship a lot of the world's energy, that artery has got to remain open. And that is what the Iranians have to know. If they try to close it down, there's going to be a response from the American military. It's that simple. That's the deal. They can either follow it or they can have exactly what happened to them last night. It's just going to keep on happening until they open up that lane and stop shooting at ships. It's simple.
So, I mean, it's kind of weird to say that you completely took them out and destroyed their nuclear ability, and but we still have to fight them to stop them from getting a nuclear ability, and we destroyed their navy and ground forces. We've totally obliterated them militarily, but they are still shooting at our ships, and they did target something like 85 American bases in Bahrain and the surrounding area as of today, Wednesday. They did that, 85. So apparently we didn't actually degrade their ability to any sufficient degree. There's also always this talk about the mythological, the fantastical, the imaginary Western-leaning leadership of Iran that are just waiting to, you know, pick up the flag. It's just like, this doesn't exist. This is nonsense. Everybody knows this is nonsense. Iran still has the ability to shut down the strait. They still have reason to shut down the strait. And we still rely on the strait being opened to avoid catastrophic economic activity. So all the rhetoric, all the talking points fall to the wayside when you look at the physical reality of what's actually happening, which is that Iran has not been degraded. They still have dominance over the Hormuz Strait. They still have the ability to hit ships, and they still have no reason to trust that they have a partner in America that will actually stick to the agreement once it's signed. They have been incentivized over and over again to keep this war going until they can get some real, you know, legitimate concessions from America, which once again we could have had 3 weeks ago when we signed this MOU, but Israel had other plans. So here we are. So just to even act like this was Trump's decision, Trump wanted the agreement to be signed. That was the sense I got. The sense I get now is that he's done with it. I mean, he's like, these people are scum. The ceasefire with Iran is over. It's all over. He's like, I don't care anymore. It's like, well, you're still in war. So like, if you really didn't care, if you really wanted this to be over, then you would sign the agreement. And you'd say, hey, if Israel wants to bomb Lebanon, have fun, Iran. I'm not backing them up. I'm not going to defend them. They can stop attacking Lebanon and join us in this peace agreement. But if they would rather continue to attack Lebanon, then they are going to have to pay the price. It's like the simplest answer ever. It is the most obvious solution to all of this. Everybody involved wants this to be the case, except for Israel. So, of course, they get their way. So. Sucks, but there we are. Out to your calls now. We go to Jay in Maryland first. He has comments on the Sneeko debate. Thank you so much for calling in. Jay, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Harrison. About Sneeko, you know, I listened to the simulcast with you, and I get that you want to jump in because it's just so infuriating. You know, to think that it's a plausible argument to say that jihad means smile and that he thought Alex was actually going to play that game with him, you know, It goes to show how severely a low IQ person this actually is. And, you know, it's great that people start to notice that because, you know, I've been looking at these things at Sneeko for a while, and he's incapable of debate. You know, you saw him with Nick Matau recently.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, well, he's this pro-Israel guy, you know, but Sneeko couldn't even stand up for, you know, his Palestine, free Palestine beliefs. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. He starts talking about Israel being created in 1948. He knows nothing about the history preceding that. And you know, Alex, you know, making fun of him, that was just great.
I agree. I completely agree. I saw some people online getting mad at me for interrupting, but, like, I'm not just going to simulcast Sneeko's stream. If you want to watch Sneeko's stream, you got to go there. I mean, I feel it would just be me stealing his content otherwise. And I tried to keep my interjections to a minimum, tried to time them so you weren't missing anything. So sorry if I talk too much, but I tried to keep it very much to a minimum.
You were good, Harrison. You were great.
Well, I appreciate that. Not everybody thinks so, but I can't just play somebody else's show on my show. I got to interject and give context, especially when they're lying so vociferously. Thank you so much for the call, Jay. Anything else before I let you go?
Yeah, no, just one last thing. When Sneeko offered to go on Alex's show, I believe at the end, and he first made Alex, retract his call for deportation. You rightfully pointed out, Sneeko actually seems to believe that Alex had some sort of sway over Sneeko's deportation. That was just the craziest part of to top it all off. And Sneeko's begging for a retraction because Elon Musk and Alex Jones are gonna have ICE sent over to his home. It was bizarre.
He seemed genuinely relieved when Alex said, "I don't think you should be deported." He's like, "Oh, thank goodness!" It's like, dude.
He could breathe easy now. Alex is not sending ICE after him. You know, Alex is. People don't know this. I believe Alex is replacing Tom Homan now as the czar. You know.
Yeah, I wish. Then maybe we'd get something done. But
yeah,
man can dream. Thank you so much for the call, Jay. Appreciate it as always. Let's go to Jefferson in Virginia. Thanks so much for calling in, Jefferson. You're on the air, Jefferson. Jefferson's one of our regular callers. We don't usually have technical issues with him, but we'll put him on hold. If he comes back, we'll go to him. But let's go now to Abraham. I want to talk about Sneeko. Go ahead, Abraham. You're on the air.
My brother. Well, first of all, he doesn't understand American culture because you wouldn't try to pretend that that's a good name. Sneaky is just, it's a bad name. But
that's
a pit bull against a chihuahua. Yeah, and there's a line in hip-hop where it says, competition, I just devour. Like a pit bull against a chihuahua. Right. But I do want to comment about the Muslim culture. And I don't have any dog in this fight. And I got it. And then speak about the alexjonesstore.com. Now, very quickly, if a person is born as a heterosexual male into a Muslim culture, for the male individual, he could have four wives of any size imaginable. And that's, you know, for a male individual, when you're young, you really want that. And then you grow up in that infrastructure. Are you going to oppose it? But but when they come to the United States and they start applying their exploitation of our system, this is the only news platform that is really getting the facts. Alex Jones and you, Mr. You guys are the best news, and you're so accurate. But the way the Muslim culture is in the United States is we have to emphasize the truth about the culture. You can't be like, oh, you're so highly ennoble, and your chief mentor had 9-year-old wives. Mm. That has to be in the context. And we have to use that as leverage that, like, don't say that your ethics are high and mighty and you deserve to have all of these advantages that we're just giving you carte blanche. No. And also their infrastructure is poorly maintained because they don't have a system. They don't allow the usury. So when you can't build a house with the way our banks build houses, so their infrastructure, it's less toxic. So they build less and they have less toxicity in their environment. So that's a plus. But when they come to our environment, they pig out on the wealth of our beautiful Christian system. Borrowing money in a strategic way with interest gives you the merit to earn your way up. So that's why they want to be in our system, because back home it may be less toxic biologically, but I don't want to marry my 12-year-old cousin. Mm. But if you grow up in that society, you'll be taught that it is acceptable, and you have four wives, and one, two of them are your cousins, and two of them are not. But not everybody has that. It's only if you have wealth.
Well, and let's not forget. Right. Well, that's one thing that's important to emphasize is that the consanguinity or whatever the intermarriage that happens, that's an expression of selfishness, right? That's because you see your children as property essentially, and you basically don't want somebody else to marry your cousin and get that chunk of your family's property. It's like, no, we got to keep that in the family. So that is born from selfishness, and it's worth pointing that out, that it's not necessarily just a cultural thing. It's like a selfishness thing. That's like, no, my cousin's going to be in my family. We're going to marry. It's like, it's not good. It's very, very deeply unhealthy. And then there was something else that you said I was going to comment on, but I got distracted at that last point. But I totally agree with what you're saying, Abraham. Please continue.
And well, look what happened to the English when they interbred. They have atrocious faces, and you know, their wealth is consolidated, but the wealth is, you know, but it's all concealed. We don't have the numbers. You know, I'm going to tell you a funny story, and then I got to talk about AlexJonesStore.com. You know, I love Alex. I love William Cooper. I love what I believe I know about Edward Snowden. I love Francis Serpico. And listen, stick to those three. If those human individuals that could help us all avoid being brutalized by crooked police, brutalized by highly sophisticated, highly equipped mercenaries that will kill us if we talk against power, you know, so we got to back Alex Jones and Hamilton. We have to back the AlexJonesStore.com. And I started doing it as the VIP level. And for the last like 6 months, I've had my Selsun Blue every day, my T3 iodine every day, my CMOS gummies, the Shazolic gummies, and the turmeric gummies, and definitely my health. I'm like 15 years old again in terms of optimism and health and quick movement. It just came, you know, if I didn't have this information from the Alex Jones Network, I wouldn't have been so involved with the AlexJonesStore.com. Mm. But I swear, everybody out there, if we were to support Alex Jones when the heavy hand comes against Alex, he'll have the economics and better infrastructure to shield him. Just like if Edward Snowden had his own infrastructure, he could have still been in the United States and fought. He was a CIA officer. He could have fought, you know, he had lawyers and been on bail and have a legal case. But we got to support the AlexJonesStore.com, and my life is better because of those products. And listen, I only listen to you, brothers. Nothing else is news, only the Alex Jones and War Room and these kind of – and Sunday night is the only news for me.
Wow, I so appreciate it. Could not agree with you more. And look, I know it's true of Alex. I know it's true of me. Like, we genuinely don't care about money. I know that's like hard to believe. And like you look at, you know, most of the other influencers, whatever you want to call them on the right wing, they're obviously not motivated by any principled, you know, position. Like, I have not really changed any position I've had the entire time I've been at InfoWars. I've been here for 9 years at this point, and you can go back and watch the first shows I did. I'm saying exactly the same stuff. We do not change because we're principled. And, you know, it's one of the things when Alex was interviewing Nick and they were sort of going back and forth going, well, you were right about this. You were right about this. I'm not going to say who was right the entire time. I'm not going to say who nailed this early on. But you see it with people like Nick or others. It's like you might go, you know, too edgy on one side. You might go really far on the other. You might think, okay, let's team up with the Muslims because, you know, Israel is the big threat. And then you go, well, okay, actually, maybe we shouldn't be teamed up with them. And it's like, if you just stick with Americana, if you stick with the founding fathers, if you actually have that as your guiding light, you can just be right about everything every time without ever having to change your position or reverse. And it's nice because I see a lot of people just coming over to where InfoWars and Alex Jones were the entire time, which is just like, I don't care what race, color, or creed that you are. As long as you respect me, I can respect you, and you respect the country that we live in and our founding principles, then you can, you know, be a fully fledged American citizen just like I am. But you have to actually understand and believe in this stuff. Not that we're a creedal nation by any means, but we do have a unique position as our history dictated, that we have all of these various populations, but we succeeded because of the melting pot concept, which is now being abandoned for the mosaic. They don't want you melting into American society anymore. So we've always held exactly the same positions, and mostly you see the radicals on every side eventually come around to realize that this is all you need. You need Americana. You need the understanding that nobody deserves to be targeted because of their race, and that includes white people. And there's nothing inconsistent about that. So it's been very nice to see people coming around. I remember what I was going to say too, because you talk about you know, the Muslim influence, and I can't remember exactly what you said that made me think of this, but you know, during in the report about the grooming gangs that recently came out, there were examples where the victims were saying, you know, there were young Muslim men there that didn't want to participate, that basically were forced to participate. I mean, you're not born seeing women as objects and being immune to the empathy that you would feel to a rape victim, but that can be inculcated, that can be taught to you, that can be overcome, right? That natural impulse you have to reject being a part of that, it can be overcome when your uncles and your dad and your cousins are all going, no, man, you got to get in. This is great. This is how we... This is how we operate. You got to do this. And they actually force them to do it. So, I mean, this is a really poisonous mindset. And it's not that these people are born wrong. They're not born thinking this. This is a cultural indoctrination that occurs. And that's extremely important. And, of course, thank you so much for supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com. We cannot do it without you. We are genuinely not motivated by money. If we were, we'd run things a lot differently. And, you know, I can say that about me. You can believe it or not, but I can say it about Alex just knowing absolutely. I mean, the same stuff he says on air, he says behind the scenes. He's like, look, they took my house. They took my car. They took everything. But I don't care. I'm going to keep doing this. We are winning the information war. We are succeeding. That's why they're targeting us, and having our stuff stolen is just a badge of honor. And like, we really do not value things that other people value. We value the truth. We value America. We value our history and our heritage and our future. And if you want to support a group of people that have dedicated themselves to this mission for decades and have shown how effective we can be, you got to go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Thank you very much for the call, Abraham. That was absolutely fantastic. The bulldog versus the chihuahua. Very appropriate. Let's go now to Godzilla. Wants to talk about Sneeko. Sneeko and the Serbians. I don't know. What's this about? Okay. I think I get where you're going with this. Go ahead, Godzilla. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. How you doing? Yeah. When Sneeko first started getting paid to do content, it was a little bit of bigger money. He made this huge mega movie with a bunch of buildup for it, bashing on Serbians.
Okay.
And it was about the Bosnia and Serbian Balkan conflicts, you know, where we get the term Balkanization from, and the genocide and mass killing that happened over there.
Yeah, we bombed them on Easter with NATO. Yeah, as a big distraction from the Lewinsky scandal.
Yeah, and they were calling Serbia the Israel of Europe and stuff. And I think it's obvious why they don't like Serbia, because they put their foot down always with Islam, you know, and they had a strict policy, this famous Serbian hero, Veliki Kurac, you know, he was yeah, I'll meet with the Sultan. And the Sultan was yeah, okay, I'll meet with you. And he was the Serbian hero was yeah, I'll surrender. And the Sultan was okay, bow before me. And the Serbian hero got close and bowed and pulled out a dagger and opened him up with the dagger and killed him. Now, of course, that Serbian hero was then just chopped into a million pieces by the security forces, you know. But I think that's one of the reasons why they bash on Serbia. You know, you even remember when the Clintons were bombing them. You know, Trump gets a lot of flack for bombing Iran and about bridges and power plants. But don't forget, Clinton bombed Serbian power plants, bombed Serbian bridges and infrastructure. He even bombed the TV station.
Yeah. And they bombed the Orthodox Christian community there on behalf of the Muslims. And they did it on Christmas Day. I mean, Easter Day is when the bombing first opened up. So it was a symbolic attack on top of just an actual attack against the Christian population there. Isn't Melania Serbian, or is she?
I think she's from East, Slovakia and Slovenia.
Slovakia, yeah, okay.
But it's all very similar over there genetically, you know, Southeastern Europe. But also when they had the bombing in Serbia, NATO and the U.S. had to admit that they did purposely target and bomb children.
Right.
At first, when they bombed the children and the children died, they were we did it by mistake.
And Serbia was the place where it was just revealed or just confirmed that Western elites went to Serbia and would pay to hunt people. And they would be given sniper rifles, and they would just be and they would have to pay more to kill women and children. But it was a literal killing playground for the Western elite. Absolutely.
And now to this day, they still kind of rub it in Serbia's face. They'll have the LGBTQ George Soros funded marches, and they'll march by the monument of the dead children.
Right.
You know, just to be hey, we killed your kids. Because that's what it's all about, the future and the kids and the women, you know.
Absolutely. So tie this back to Sneeko for me.
Well, Christianity's in first place. Islam's in a long distance second place, because many of the people who are following Islam, like the women who are brutalized and sexually violated all the time, the children in the slave class, which they don't talk about, you know, they're trying to like actively subvert and destroy the ideology of Americana, of similar ideologies in Europe, like Greek and Roman, and, you know, I was saying before, in Serbia, where Christians stand up for themselves because the Christian population has been so cucked and pacified and poisoned in a variety of ways that they're trying to keep the Christians down so they never stand up and fight back for what their property, what they created, you know, 100%. And they want a tyranny. They want the kids. They want the women. And it's happening at an accelerated rate. And, you know, you've discussed it for a long time, and Jones has discussed it for a long time. We've been in this war for a long time.
And you know, that might be the most absurd part, is that Alex Jones has been like one of the loudest voices, especially the loudest voice on the right, who's anti-war, who's been against the interventions in the Middle East. So it's like to bring somebody on like that, to bring on Alex Jones, who his career was defined by opposing the Bushes in the war in Iraq and undercutting and uncovering the truth about the official story of 9/11 that led to the wars. Like, Alex Jones has done more to try to prevent Middle Eastern wars than just about any American alive. So to bring him on and act like he's a Jewish agent, an Israeli agent that's pushing for the wars, or that, you know, he's anti-Islam and thinks that, you know, Iran should be attacked. Like, I am anti-Islam. I am against Islam taking over Europe, which is exactly why I'm against the wars in the Middle East. That is like too confusing for people, but it seems very simple to me. I'm against Islam taking over Europe, so I'm against the wars that drive the Muslims into Europe. Like, that does not seem complicated. For some reason, to the Muslim view, it's like, if you're against the Muslims going into Europe, you must be in favor of the wars. It literally makes no sense. It is incomprehensible. Very good points, Godzilla. We got 1 minute left in the show. The floor is yours. Go ahead.
You were saying also about how it's an ideology attack. You know, they can't attack our ideas and yep. debate us on the topics because the Christian and Americana fundamentals that the founding fathers laid out are just a better program. They're a better operating system, better modus operandi, MO, mode of operation.
Yep.
And they're doing this subversion instead. And I'm very concerned of the pacification of the white man right now in America, that they're letting too much slide, and it can happen very quickly that their power is removed. You can see already, unfortunately, our military industrial complex is getting to a certain degree Jewed. You know, we're getting, in the old colloquial terms, it's like a threat to national security.
Like gypped, yeah. No, absolutely incredible call. Thank you so much, Godzilla. Yeah, look, I completely agree. And it's very similar to what we've been saying, I mean, the entire time about all of this, is just like, if you don't offer a good solution, people are going to go over to the bad guys. It's the same thing happening with socialism. It's happening with Islam.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for 1 second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. and talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.